The devil is not who you think. Let's talk about it on Key Light.
This is Key Light with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you've got your Bible, keep it there. Most of them will be talking about Job and giving you some other references as we continue with our series on God, pain, and evil, and broken ropes. And we're talking about the supernatural source of a lot of bad things that happen. And I spent yesterday mostly reviewing, saying a few extra things that we had seen about Satan before. And then we're spending some time now talking about the fact that Satan is a silent enemy. In other words, sometimes he hovers in the background and you don't know it's him. I can remember when I was a pastor, and I tell my students this, that as you approach Sunday, I started getting uptight. I mean, I was a reasonably nice and civil person on Monday. It was over. Whether it bombed or not, as somebody said about a doctoral dissertation, there are two kinds. There are perfect ones and there are finished ones. And the sermon was finished. I was jovial and fun to be with, but as we got closer and closer to the end of the week, I started getting meaner and meaner, and was not a nice person to live with on Saturday. I used to have nightmares. It's just awful. And my wife, who is especially sensitive in these matters, would recognize that a part of that was simply that I was a twit, but a part of it had a supernatural base to it, too. As I immersed myself in God's Word, as I prepared to teach on Sunday morning and was faithful to the Word, and God was going to do stuff, Satan, the silent enemy, was in the background. Now, Anna never said, "That's the devil, Steve," because she knew I'd go ballistic. She didn't want to mess with that. But she would just say, she would start talking about Jesus. And she might bring Satan up as a part of that, and I would find this strange thing happening in my heart. A sense of calmness and reality, as my wife would recognize the silent enemy. Back in those days when I was a pastor, and elders would pray before the service, almost every time one elder would say, "And we bind Satan in the name of Christ." That prayer recognized the reality of Satan, who would destroy all that God is doing. Now, he can't do it. We've already seen that. But he's involved in a lot of bad stuff. Recognition of his existence is the first step in dealing with him. Ultimately, can't destroy God's work, but even a weak enemy can hurt you if he sneaks up on you from behind. You know, the pagans have this whole thing about world terrorism. They don't understand. You know, they think, you know, the liberals say it's because our foreign policy hasn't been wonderful. If we'd been kinder and more gentle and not so arrogant, then they wouldn't have hit our buildings and our Pentagon on 9/11. Now, I personally, though this is not a place to share my political views, think that's drivel, but there may be some truth to it, I guess. And people are saying, well, what we've got to do is to create a strong government that stands up. Listen, this is a supernatural thing. You guys don't understand. You don't fight ideas with cannons. Now, you got to do the cannon thing because that has to do with survival and just war stuff. But that's not what this is about. This goes deeper than that. It's more real than that. It has to do with ideas and convictions and reality and that which is supernatural. And if we avoid that, we're gonna spend all of this money. All these people are going to be killed. All this thing is going to blow up in our faces because we didn't recognize a reality that this thing is supernatural. Heinrich Heine, the 19th century German poet, made a wonderful reference to Satan in his Pictures of Travels, The Return Home. Let me read a couple of verses. "I called the devil and he came, and with wonder his form did I closely scan. He's not ugly and he's not lame, but really a handsome and charming man. A man in the prime of life is the devil, obliging, a man of the world and civil. A diplomat, too, well skilled in debate. He talks quite glibly of church and state." Problem is, we think of Satan in certain traditional ways and look for him to appear that way. like the red suit. You know, hello, I'm the devil, I'm going to eat your lunch. I'm going to clean your flock. You in trouble because I'm here. It's not that way. As a matter of fact, he hardly ever appears as we expect him to. And for that reason, we fail to recognize him. Have you ever thought that Satan was involved in the temptation that so assaulted you that you yielded and suffered your own pain? Have you ever seen his grin and the motivation of a friend who stabbed you in the back? Have you ever considered that Satan might be involved in 9/11? You ever think that the radical forms of Islam are not of God? Perhaps Satan was involved in those areas which led to your divorce. Have you ever looked for him in your depression? Have you ever found him lurking behind your broken heart? Have you ever thought of him as the author of discouragement, the father of lies? Satan is sometimes involved in all of that and more. Make sure you learn to smell the smoke of his presence. That's a part of growing in God, allowing God to do things in you. Because the devil is often thought to be a myth, and because in a sophisticated time we don't believe in wizards that beef and mutter, even Christians, when they have so many problems to confront, can easily decide that it's silly to think that something seemingly so remote as Satan would have anything to do with it. That's a mistake, guys. Now, don't go weird on me. Don't get neurotic about this thing. I think Satan has the power we give him, and if we think about it all the time, look for demons under the bed, and every time we did what we want, we say, Satan made me do it. That's weird. But don't forget, C.S. Lewis said in his book, Screwtape Letters, if you haven't read that, you ought to read it, but in the introduction, he says we make two great mistakes about Satan. One is that we give him more power than he deserves, and the other is we pretend he doesn't exist. In his book, False Revisited, Some Thoughts on Satan, Marshall Fishwick, who's an Anglican, pointed to the problem of those who underestimate the power of Satan. This is what he said. No one who does go out should underestimate the task. Evil is active, eternal, omnipresent, contagious. We must expect to encounter it wherever we go, whatever we do. Satan never sleeps. He never even rests on his arms. When we think he is gone, he is most there. When we are the proudest, we most readily betray ourselves. You say, Steve, that's pretty scary, man. What are you talking about this stuff for? What are you doing? You're scaring me to death. Well, I wouldn't do that unless I gave you some practical ways to deal with Satan. And so, as we continue, I'm going to finish this part by the end of the week, I think, maybe before then, and then we'll turn to some questions on pain and suffering. But let me give you some things that you need to do if Satan is involved in some of the pain and the suffering. What can you do about it? Well, first, learn to use the truth. When Paul spoke about how a Christian ought to resist Satan, this is Ephesians 6:14 and 6:17, he said that we're to have our loins girded with what? Truth. In that same passage, he told us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What's that? Truth. Ephesians 6:17. Use the Word of God to assess your situation and apply it to your life. Someone tells me that my mother doesn't exist. How do you think I would answer that person? I certainly wouldn't compose a philosophical treatise on the subject of the existence of mothers in general and the existence of my mother in particular. Are you crazy? I'd simply affirm the fact that my existence presupposes the existence of my mother. I would offer a taste of my mother's banana pudding, if she were still living. I would explain about the birds and the bees. The Christian who knows the Word of God can deal with Satan's lies. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, so you learn the truth. I mean, when you think that Satan is going to overwhelm you, what's the truth? The Bible says he's a defeated enemy. The Bible says he who is in you, 1 John 4:4 or 4:5 or 4:3, I'm not a navigator, and I'm doing the best I can. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. In the midst of the pain, you feel that God has deserted you. What's the truth? He hasn't deserted you at all. He's there, and he cares about it, and he loves you. Sometimes the father of lies will say, how Yeah, my friend, the late Jack Miller, used to say that Satan would say, go ahead and do it. And I would say, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. And Satan would say, go ahead. You go ahead and do it. I mean, follow for you. You love you. Go ahead and do it. And Jack would say, no, I'm not going to do it. Satan would say, well, go ahead. It's not that big a deal. It's not that big a sin. Go ahead. Go ahead. And then Jack would say, I'd do it. And then Satan would say, you scum. You horrible person. Now, there were two lies told there. The first was it wasn't important. The second was after he sinned that he was scum. And he was, and both of those were lies. But Jack knew the truth. He knew what the Word of God said. And if you know what the Word of God says, then you can stand. That's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 6. So, don't study the Bible so you can win a little medal that you can wear because you know more Bible than anybody else. Study the Bible because it tells you the truth about the reality that you live. The Bible is an extremely practical and earthy book. So find out what it says about Satan and then stand on that truth. And the next time you encounter him and everybody else is running, you can stand and say, oh, it's only you. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you don't have our winter magazine, I'd love to send it to you. It centers around themes of pain and how do you deal with it. I wrote a couple of articles, Our God Reigns, Don't Forget the King. And then there's another article, Crosses and Crowns, How Do You Bear Pain When It's Unbearable? There's a question and answer column, my itinerary's there. A lot of resources, and that's the theme of Key Life, to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Give us a call. We'll send it to you free. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. Or you can write KEY-LIFE, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or KEY-LIFE, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us with your regular mailing address to steve@keylife.org and ask for the winter magazine. We'll send it to you free. And I really mean that. If you can help us financially, do pray about it. You can be a champion of so many other Christians who are helped by this ministry. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a contribution in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you a cassette teaching as my thank you praying properly. Hey, listen, I've got to go. Be sure and give us the call letters of this station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.